anyway. He says, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Did you know those were the first words that Jesus speaks in the Gospel of Matthew? New beginnings. All of the Gospels treat Jesus' baptism as the beginning of his earthly ministry. We see together, for the first time, we see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together all at once in the same place. First of all, if you look at our carvings here, we have a carving here of God the Father, I guess, putting his hand down in creation, giving breath to Adam. Then we have the Lamb as the Son of God. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's our gospel reading for next week. And then down here we have the dove, as it says, as Matthew says, descending like a dove at Jesus' baptism. And then we have over here the shell with three little droplets of water, I guess Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the sacrament of baptism, which we will definitely talk about today. And then on the far side we have the cup and the wafer signifying sacrament of Holy Communion. So you get all the carvings at once today. So first thing, so we see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit here for the first time at Jesus' baptism. And Jesus comes, and at his baptism, he starts his ministry. He starts fulfilling all those things that Bob read about in the Old Testament reading. He starts fulfilling all of the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. And that fulfillment is the first thing that Jesus does. He comes to be obedient to the Father's will, because you and I can't do it by ourselves. He comes and does it for us. That's the first thing that Jesus does in his baptism. In Isaiah's prophecy, we heard, "I am the Lord, I am Yahweh. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind and to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness." And that's what Jesus did. In the Old Testament reading, this prophecy that Bob read earlier from Isaiah 42 is first about Israel. Israel, you are called to be my covenant people, my light to the nations. But Israel didn't fulfill that very well. And so God said, "I'm going to send another one who will become my servant as well. And all Israel will become one in him. And that him is Jesus." He comes to us at his baptism, and he starts something new. Just like in your life, when you're baptized, he starts something new in your life. When he puts his name on you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he says, "I'm going to make a new life for you. I'm going to give you new life. A life that doesn't end. A life that includes a resurrection. And a life beyond that." So in a way, Jesus' baptism inaugurates his ministry. It's like, this is the beginning of all that. This is the beginning of salvation. His salvation for you and for me. Well, inaugurations also happened in January. And we've got a new president. We're going to have an inauguration in, today's the 8th, 12 days or so. And when I think of inaugurations, I don't know about you, but the inauguration speech that I think about is the one that President Lincoln gives. President Lincoln was elected twice. His first inauguration, Well, was in those days they did it in March, and right after that, half the country secedes. So, welcome. way to start, huh? And Jesus, and presidents give inauguration addresses, and Jesus' inauguration address, if you will have it here, is, "Let us do this thing. It is fitting for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Just one sentence. If only our president's speeches were just one sentence, right? Well, Lincoln was usually pretty short. At his second inaugural address, he was pretty short and to the point. But after this long war, 4 years, let's see, he says, this is what he says. And what was the reason for the war? Slavery, right? 250 years of slavery in the United States comes to an end. We fight this huge war over it. 600,000 people lost their lives. Plus how many thousands more, hundreds of thousands more were wounded. I'll tell you this. This last summer, I was downtown to make a call, a nursing home call, and you can't go at noon because they're feeding the people. So what did I do? I went to lunch. This at Burger King. And after Burger King, I went to Porter Park. You know where that is? Downtown, right by the water. And it's named after, a guy named Porter. but they have all these plaques there on the monument. And so I'm new in town. I'll read this. In fact, I took a couple pictures. Did you know that 150 years ago yesterday, the 100th New York Regiment was formed, a volunteer regiment to fight in the Civil War? 960 guys from the Buffalo area went off to fight in the Civil War. 906 casualties. There were so many casualties in the 100th volunteer regiment from New York that they formed it again. They got 956 guys the second time. That's how many fought in the war and died from this area 150 years ago yesterday. So this is what Lincoln said about the war. With the war still not over, it's about a month to go. He says, "Fondly do we hope, fervently do we pray, that this mighty scourge of war may speedily pass away. Yet if God wills that it continue until all the wealth piled by bondsmen's 250 years of unrequited toil shall be sunk, and until every drop of blood drawn with the lash shall be paid by another drawn by the sword, as was said 3,000 years ago, so must it be said, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." It's quoting from the Psalms there. Psalm 19:9. "Indeed, God's judgments are true and righteous." And in this life, we don't always get to know why God apportions a certain punishment for a particular sin or the consequences of sin. We can't always draw a straight line from this sin to this consequence or this sin to this punishment. We just know that they all end in death for us, unless Jesus comes sooner. We don't get to choose that. And we also don't always know the effects of our sin. Now, you and I have not participated in slavery. Well, at least I haven't. I don't think you have. But what do we do? Maybe we don't whip another human being like they did in the African American slaves in this country. But do we lash out at each other with malicious words? You ever given somebody the old tongue lashing? Do we ever scourge each other with our complaints about each other? Or how about this one? I'm guilty of this one. Do you ever chastise someone with your dirty looks or your look of frustration or you're tired of them? Do we ever harbor thoughts that are less than charitable about someone in our lives? That guy who just cut me off? That person at work or at school who's mean to me or doesn't act the way I think they should act? Ooh. We all know how each other should act. Well, we're all enslaved to sin. As St. Paul says, we know that our old self was crucified with him, with Jesus, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, killed, dead, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. This brings us to a critical way in which Jesus' baptism is for you and for me. Matthew says, John would have prevented him saying, Jesus, I need to be baptized by you and you come to me. John knew that he was a sinner. And he also knew that the Lamb of God, Jesus, was not a sinner. He was holy and pure like we were supposed to be when we were created. The way that we don't live. But Jesus answers him and he says, this one sentence, he says, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. And this is what's critical. This is what we don't think about. Jesus comes to the waters of baptism. Okay, for him it was the Jordan River. Okay, for us it's a baptismal font. He comes to the Jordan River, and as Samantha was saying earlier, when you think about taking a bath or a shower or just washing your face, you can think of your baptism as a washing of sin, right? And it's a good way to think about it. The Bible talks about it that way. What about Jesus? When he came to the Jordan River, he was sinless. He came without sin to baptism. So what happened at his baptism? Well, you heard that he was declared the Son of God by God the Father Almighty. And even you can look at that carving and think, oh, there he's pointing at Jesus. That's the one. That's my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. And the Holy Spirit shows up in the form of a dove. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus says. But what happens when he goes into the water? Have you thought about that? When you go into the waters of baptism, your sin is washed off of you. What about Jesus? Remember this. When Jesus goes into the waters of baptism, he goes in to absorb the sin of the world. Not to have it washed off. To have it placed upon him. All that sin that you and I wash off, or that the Lord washes off us in the waters of baptism, all of that goes and clings to him. When you think about your life, and you think about what I have done in my life that's sinful and unclean, We'll spread that times a couple billion, many billion. That is what Jesus comes to absorb upon himself. That's his baptism for you, for me. To carry all of that sin, where? To the cross. To be obedient unto death for you and for me. That's what Jesus comes to his baptism to do. Fully knowing that's what he's doing. Beginning to go there. Going there willingly to absorb our sin and then to go to the cross to pay for it. So that our death is a temporary one, a limited one, a one where we're given, out of which we're given new life, a resurrected life. For we know that we have been baptized into his death, and we have been baptized into a resurrection like his. And we know that Christ will never die again. Jesus will never die again. And so in your baptism, in my baptism, you know that you will never die again. I mean, after the first one, which hurts enough. You will never die again. You will live in a resurrection, a new life without sin. You'll never need another baptism. You live in that already. You can start living in that today. And in fact, you do. That's why you're here. That's why you are the people that you are, because of Christ living in you. Now, do we still sin? Yes. That's why we live in our baptism every day. We need that forgiveness every day. Because until we get to the resurrection, we have this flesh clinging to us. We have this clinging to our life. It's like you've been born again, you have a new life, but you still are dragging along this human flesh. Well, the Lord's going to get rid of that. And he's going to give you a new one to live permanently in. That's clean and fresh and pure and holy. And it starts with your heart. That's what he starts building first. In Lincoln's second inaugural address, he closed it this way. Words that I think are familiar to you, they're on the Lincoln Memorial. With malice toward none, with charity for all. Does this sound like a baptized Christian life? With malice toward none, with charity for all. With firmness in the right, as God gives us to see the right. Let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations. That was the direction that Abraham Lincoln wanted to lead this nation after the Civil War. Not a month later, he was killed. And we didn't do it very well. We kind of treated Abraham Lincoln like we treated our Lord. We killed him too. But that doesn't stop God. It doesn't stop God. Because God raises him from the dead and said, I'm going to raise you too to live with malice towards none. To live in the right as God gives us to see the right. And he does. That's why he sends his Holy Spirit to be upon us. So that we can see the right and do it. That's what brings you here. That's what fills you up. That's what replaces all that stuff that got absorbed and does every day. Talk about a new beginning. Talk about a new life. If you made New Year's resolutions, guess what? In your resurrected life, all your resolutions you're going to do. And you're not even going to need resolutions because you'll just do them naturally. What a wonderful life. That's what God has given you in your baptism. That's what Jesus' baptism means for you, the beginning of new life. You witness the power of Jesus' resurrection and his righteousness every day in the power of your baptism. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.